Salutations, my friends. Thank you for tuning in. That's right, a whole new show brought to you by On the Wake Up Radio, titled Fellowship and Freedom. Share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction. Out.
Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to That's Right, another episode of Fellowship and Freedom over here with On the Wake Up Radio. I'd like to start off by saying that I'm your host, Freedom Faction, Noisera, whichever one you prefer. Give a real quick shout out to Ra on the boards and our producer, Cindy Ashby. Quick update, they are actually on SoundCloud now. That's right. You guys can go listen to these episodes instead of trying to catch them live. You can go listen to some of them on SoundCloud and as well on their website at onthewakeupradio.com. I will put all those links in the description bar below so you guys can check it out. And really, you know what? Think about this, guys. Before I you know, get into everything, think about this. The level and speed at which we are growing, it is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. It's more than anybody could have ever guessed. I'm happy to be here. As always, I'm happy to be in your life talking about this type of stuff. Shocker, guess what? It's actually Super Bowl Sunday. But we have so much work and so many different things going on over here on this end that we don't really pay attention to the mainstream media's calendar and these types of things. If you guys have been paying attention to the Instagram story today, you know, I'll get into everything else that we'll be doing with this episode. This is going to be a paranormal themed episode, but I figure, you know, let's tackle the fact that it is Super Bowl Sunday and what's going on with that, and then we'll get into all the good stuff with this with the Super Bowl, with mainstream media, you know, with them even having the Patriots and the Eagles. You see them even using this kind of symbolism to basically illustrate the civil war that we've seen taking place within this country, the two different ideas of what it means to be a patriot or an American. They also did this back, I think, in 2015 or 2016 with the Panthers and the Broncos. Well, you know, whenever they're trying to stoke all kinds of race war, you really got to look at how, you know, the NFL, mainstream media, and they do all these types of things. We're also hearing how, you know, there's going to be a terrorist attack. Antifa's trying to plan like a terrorist attack at the football, you know, at the stadium. All these things are crazy, you know, and basically what they're trying to do is get ratings. You got to realize we are moving slowly into a TV reality. They realize that their numbers have dwindled because, you know, but nobody really pays attention to football. Well, I mean, people do, but their numbers have dwindled, you know, since Colin Kaepernick's thing. People have started to become more political and, you know, we really have to look at all these things and all together. And my point is this. The NFL is simply the bread and circus of Rome. It is literally there to distract you while we see all these social degradation taking place, the chaos, the financial markets, everything changing. People need a distraction. They need the circus so they don't really revolt against their dictators, their oppressors. But we don't really see that. We don't really ask who the person is behind the mirror, behind the curtain, pulling all those levers. I just wanted to address that because I think it's crazy that, you know, we're literally broadcasting our second show over here on Super Bowl Sunday. There's more important things going on every single day. You know, people would still like to stay glued to the matrix, glued to this, to the tube, the thought tube, to where they can be told how to feel, how to think, what to react to them. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to get that out there because, again, it's crazy that it is it's Super Bowl Sunday. Now, the other thing that I wanted to address while we were here, I'm not trying to bash people that do want to watch football and, you know, NBA and NHL and things like that. Just last week, I think, we actually talked about how over here on the Wake Up Radio, you know, with Fellowship and Freedom, you guys, we talked about the other week about how there are more people who want to be cops than there are that want to be athletes. Now, I kind of just sounded like I bashed, you know, NFL and football players, but I would rather have people that aspire to be football players instead of people who would aspire to be cops, law enforcement. Why is this a deal? Because we're literally seeing the slow transition from a human potential oriented society into a really, really authoritarian, tyrannical system. And the reason for this is because, you know, they don't really see like anything spectacular happening with athletes. They don't see anything, you know, monumental saying like, let's do this. And I'll tell you what will happen with that, you know, in the future. They'll introduce all kinds of different transhumans and all kinds of other things like that as well. But right now, like I said, we're seeing that shift from the human potential into the authoritarian nature of society that we're going into. I think regardless of, you know, whether or not you watch sports, whether or not I watch sports, whether or not we care about these types of things, we should definitely encourage people to aspire to be greater. Now, if you aspire to go up over there and put handcuffs on people and beat them, you know, while they're handcuffed, you probably have some deeper issues. But if you want to be the fastest, strongest, quickest, most fit human, I can understand that. And we have to, that's my point. We really have to look at like how that works. Now, with this episode, no, I just wanted to get all that out of the way. That's all politics. That's all nonsense. That's all football. That's all the distractions, right? But with this particular episode, with the paranormal perspective style episode, we will be addressing all kinds of different strange things that people have sent in and that are happening across the world. Now, for this newer audience of people that we're over here trying to reach, the paranormal perspective is simply that. We're looking at the paranormal things that are happening, supernatural occurrences, and anything that's kind of weird, because it started out trying to really understand the demonic possession phenomena. And then it's not just even spirits alone. It's not just one spirit. It's not just ghosts. It's not just demons. It's shadow people, hat man. It's none of these things. It's a lot of these. And the reason why I'm having such a hard time trying to explain all this is because I want to save it for the actual show. I have to set the foundation for you guys so we really understand what we're about to get into. Yes, we can go watch a whole bunch of people hit themselves and play football and do all this nonsense. But we also have to look at what's happening on not only the underbelly of society, but right there beside us that people can't even begin to comprehend. I have a story for you guys later on in the show, basically where this person tells us their life story at different ages, what happened to them, what kind of entities they came into contact with, what kinds of things happened to them that they still don't have answers to. And these things are happening to more people than you think. Myself, if you guys listened to the episode where we had Zach and his cousin on, Steph Freeman, we talked about the spiritual sensitivity of family, spiritual relationships, and all the different things that we see happening right now. And I'll be getting into more of this later on in the episode, but this is going to be a pretty, what I would like to think, a very heavy spiritual episode. Sunday, I wanted to get this introduced over here with you guys so we could really look at all this. A whole lot of information lined up for you guys, but we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to jump right into this and let these stories fly. But this is Freedom Faction over here with On the Wake Up Radio. You've listened to Fellowship and Freedom. Stay tuned. I'll talk to you guys real soon. Have you had a paranormal experience? 51% of you say yes, 49% of you say no. 36% of you say yes whenever I asked if you've seen a UFO. 64% of you said no. I also asked if you had an OBE, an out-of-body experience. 51% said yes, and 49% said no. I also began to ask questions about, you know, the spiritual orientation of people. If they pray or if they meditate regularly, 48% of my audience said yes, and 52% of my audience said no. I had another graphic as well, another poll where I asked, you know, specifically, what do you do, prayer or meditation? But I think I lost that figure somewhere. But continuing on, I also asked people if they experienced sleep paralysis. 58% people said yes, 42% said no. I also asked if they had a history of spiritual sensitivity, a family history, you know, if their grandparents or their parents have ever seen or encountered entities. 45% said yes, but total 55% said no. And then I began to ask, you know, if they encountered ghosts or otherworldly entities. 44% said yes, and 56% said no. Then I kind of went off the deep end. I asked how many of you or if your friends or someone you know have practiced magic or occultism. 28% said yes, and 72% said no. I'm very glad that the majority of my audience is not out there practicing magic or occultism. Okay, that's pretty good. So awesome. Congrats to you guys. But the reason why I ask these types of questions is to really get a sense of what is the paranormal, what is strange, what is going on. We don't really know. We don't know. That's why we have to classify it as is it hyper real? Is it super normal? Is it supernatural? Is it paranormal? Are all these things constantly happening? We're just not sure how to pay attention to them. I have a number of stories here for you guys, and they're in no particular order, but I feel like they really do kind of capture the essence of what's going on, of what we're trying to talk about here. We don't, we think of it, this ghost, you know, he came up to me, scary. We don't really know whether or not this entity, this ghost, whether or not it's attached to the land, if it's attached to an object, if it's attached to a person. We don't know these things. We just think, oh, scary ghost. Look at this white sheet. It's semi-translucent. I can't see it. It's transparent. No. What we have to understand is that we as humans have more perception than we think, and there are senses that have been systematically dulled through years of eugenics and evolution, that they self-directed evolution, transhumanism, epigenetics, and all kinds of different things that they do. One of the reasons why we pay attention to a lot of what happens with your body and health is because I feel like, you know, the spiritual orientation of people, you have a frequency, you have a tune, you have a certain circadian rhythm, a natural glow about you, an aura, so to speak, that attunes to the world. And these things can get distorted through our body, through our mannerisms, through our actions, and what we allow in our life. Throughout this entire episode, I'm going to be trying to illustrate just this. I'm going to try to talk about the unknown. How do you do that? I don't know. Let's see what we can do. Let's jump right into it. So this episode, or this quick story, is from Brandon's Wyheart. He says, so, nothing extreme, but when I was a kid, I was at a church camp down south, and we were all in a worship service. Suddenly, I got this urge to laugh, and it came out of nowhere. So at the exact same moment I started to laugh, everyone else in the room started laughing at the exact same time, for no reason. CM724 says that I used to be intrigued by this, as well as a believer. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a non-believer, but more of an ignorer. My mother said, quote, it's not the dead you need to worry about, it's the living. And so, that's my philosophy. I worry about corruption, being poisoned, extorted, war, etc. I don't have a concern with the afterlife. Now, the reason I wanted to put that in there is because a lot of people don't think that the paranormal is real, or that, you know, demons exist and all this other stuff, because they think it's just the wickedness of man. And I can definitely agree. You know, we should definitely worry about the living as well. But I wanted to put that story in there to say that while you can be in a state of ignorance, you know, you literally can block these things out from being able to interact with you, only to a certain degree. That's my belief. Moving on. This is by Paisa Jorge. This is very real. And sometimes in the fabric of space and time, dimensions are crossed using portals. The Book of Enoch explains what God was so upset about. of the fallen angels, teaching mankind the secrets of heaven. And that might be something we do over here as well, where we break down the Book of Enoch, because we have that over here in the studio. How they are using things like ancient technology and how they're communing with people. Let me back this up real quick for you. I talked with Zach, who's Zach of UC Fitness, one of the basically a featured guest that we've had on the show routinely. He comes on to talk about his paranormal experiences, visions, and things that he has, things that had happened that he foretold. And what's even stranger, I didn't really mention this to people, but the minute that me and Zach did our Instagram live, somebody had messaged both me and Zach afterwards saying that he foresaw seeing that, foresaw like me and Zach having this conversation about spirituality, how people are turning away from God, how people don't really want to have like a spiritual orientation these days. We're acting in the flesh, and it was crazy. You know, how do you really? It is humbling. It is very scary. But I've had that happen before, where people say, you know, their spirits are telling them to tell me things, and it's wild. It is wild the types of things you do here. But to bring it back to point with the Book of Enoch and how these people are using ancient technology to commune with these spirits, I talk a lot about the spectrum of light, what we can actually understand as reality, as normality. The other day, or if anything, I talked about this too on the very first episode here on Fellowship of Freedom, ITEs, Invisible Terrestrial Entities of the First and Second Kind, where the Thunder Energies Corporation in Florida, you guys can go look this up. I think I did on the episode. But they basically classified invisible terrestrial entities, basically ghosts, spirits, whatever they classified them as, that hovered over population centers. Now, why am I talking about spiritual stuff and technology? Because we have to understand that they are using this ancient technology to commune with these spirits, these things that we cannot see. So let's continue on. This story is from Bustamante, 1964. She says, about 9 years ago, I was at home with my granddaughter, and we both saw a shadow going through the kitchen, through the door that connects the kitchen and garage. This was something that neither of us will ever forget. I have a grandmother listening to us and explaining how her daughter, they're sharing this experience, are seeing shadow entities or something run through. Crazy. Now, this next story, this was actually submitted to us via our website, which you guys can go to. And once you're there, go to the contact tab. We have a new tab underneath there for the paranormal experiences. You can straight up send us your paranormal experience. Doesn't have to be through Instagram or through DMs. You can basically send us directly to our email your experience, and that's exactly what this person did. She just calls herself SH, and her story goes like this. She says, when I was 10 years old, I started to see shadows, the ones who always stand next to people. I see people's true colors. I told my grandma that, and she said that our family, well, some of them, are born with an active third eye. I didn't know much about it at first, but as soon as I saw visions and started seeing people pass just looking into their eyes, I knew. Now, I actually know a lot of the things that have and are happening because I had seen it all in my visions already. I even discovered stuff later on that people discovered. I know it sounds crazy, but I promise you I'm not lying. I've also seen someone in my vision, his face, features, and everything. I've even seen where he lives, all in my dreams. And when I Googled that place, it was real. The person, whoever I'm dreaming of, is unique with his powers, and someday I'll go to that place and find him. But what's really scary to me is how my third eye attracts really dark spirits. For example, when I'm angry at someone because they hurt me, they themselves end up in pain. My sister's PlayStation broke. Books falling from the shelf, one at a time. Or when one of my classmates fell and hurt herself. I assure you I am not possessed. It's just really weird and creeping me out. Now there's a few things you gotta look at with stories like that. But one of the things I wanted to tackle first with this is the being born with an active third eye and how she feels like, you know, these are attracting spirits. I had a story that was sent in to us from somebody that basically said the same thing. They felt as if their third eye was bad, you know, as if, you know, activating the pineal gland, trying to understand like their spiritual orientation more, that was bad. They felt like they had a traumatic experience whenever they tried to unlock their third eye. And now the whole, you know, oh, I'm so woke, third eye open, you know, this is a whole phenomenon that people really don't know what they're doing. Like the Ouija board, you're messing with stuff that has implications that unless you're actually trying to understand it instead of just play around with it, you could be doing more damage than good. And I say that because, you know, once you open yourself up to these things, once you open that thing up, you cannot go back. Like a light, you just turn that thing on. So when you activate the third eye, when you go down the rabbit hole, when you start staring into the abyss is going to stare back at you. You guys probably just heard that Stranger Things remix, right? You've heard me talk about how much I love Stranger Things, right? Right. So Stranger Things. When she's, I'll just give you guys this quick analogy, or this quick comparison. When Elle is in the Upside Down, and she's doing her ESP, where she's using her third eye, or she's traversing the planes, however you want to look at it. When Elle is in the Upside Down, she becomes a beacon. They can see her. She's there. The same thing happens. The person that submitted the story said beforehand, there are entities and people, or entities that are attached to people, and they don't even know it. The ones that stay next to people, we try to really break down, you know, what happens with a possession, what happens with oppression, what happens with attachment, and all these different types of things, because they all have different variations of effects on people. On people, on users, et cetera, et cetera. I remember reading one story, you know, about how some girl was messing around with her same third eye thing, but I forget what she did, but she ended up having to go to a priest and cleanse herself. The point is this, when we do these types of things, when we open ourselves up to these types of portals, we're bound to have some kind of something look back at us. She also mentioned that her family, and this is what I meant before at the start of the show, with saying that, do you have a history of spiritual sensitivity? Your family could have a history of these types of things, being fully aware that they see whatever is beyond the veil. This could be in your blood. This could be in your history. And the reason why I tell you guys, you know, I read the stories is because this is at least like the fifth one. We have so many different stories that have come through this series. and it blows my mind. But anyway, let's continue on. I was trying to connect it with something else, but let's move on. This comes from Royalty 760. He says, my son saw a black shadow with a fedora on it, and it scared the hell out of him. We used holy water, but what does this mean? And it's not the first time. We just moved to this place. We had this happen in the last place, and it was way worse. Are they following us? What should I do? The reason I put this in here is because I love you guys. And we actually had people give two beautifully described different responses to one problem. And one of the responses was from somebody named Danny Five Steez, who says, get rid of your fears, work on your energy and your chakras. If they don't find the negativity and you don't direct energy towards it, they will leave. Also, make sure to cleanse the house and burn incense. I think that's a fantastic experience, or a fantastic way to react to it. And the next response comes from Shella Love 50. She says, your home needs to be blessed in the name of Christ. The only thing that can help you in these matters is calling on the name of Jesus. Also, do you have any demonic things, portals in your house, horoscopes, evil music, totems, charms, horror movies? This isn't a joke. And if you want spiritual peace, you have to confront it. be cautious of who enters your home as well. People carry energy, and it's not always good. Be blessed, and I'll be praying for you. I'll explain that more when we come back from this break. This is Fellowship and Freedom. I'm Freedom Faction over here on the Wake Up Radio. You guys stay tuned. I'll talk to you real soon. The same from an entity with a fedora, the Hat Man. This is an entity that is seen pretty frequently. If you guys go back and listen to the episode with Steph Freeman of the Spiritual Sensitivities of Family, he talks about his own encounter with Hat Man. Even Zach in previous episodes has talked about how he has seen not only entities trying to harm him, but also entities that have been in contact with his child. Now, two different approaches to the same problem. One person basically saying, get rid of the energy, get rid of the fears, work on the energy. The other person saying, you need to work, or you need to have your house blessed in the name of Christ. What is it that they're doing? They're projecting protection. They're projecting righteousness. They're projecting no fear. But these entities, that's what they do. That's why they feed on these types of things. They feed on our negativity, on our sadness, on our depression. And that's why this world has become so wicked, so that these entities that are here beyond the veil can interact. I just want to throw this out there, you know, real quick. I was talking to the producer, to the engineer in between the show, you know, about things like Project Grow Flame, Project Center Lane, and Project Sunstreak. Basically how the government, the DOD, the DOE, and other alphabet letter organizations, agencies, how they have done studies into psychical research, things like psychokinetic research. You know, can they induce an out-of-body experience? Can they remote view certain areas? Look into people like Russell Targ, ESP. They have these types of things. People have these natural human abilities, and they're aware of that, and that's why they have to suppress them. That's why they have to make this seem as if we are helpless, so that these entities, if and when they do come around, we don't have our tools to defend ourselves. Why do we have people that say, you know, Jesus Christ to try to save us? That's because that's the only thing they know. Whether or not they know that the name Jesus Christ is not the name of God or the Son of God, that's a whole nother discussion. My point is this: we have to arm ourselves with these spiritual tools. We have to really break down, how do we defend ourselves? I'll be getting into that later on. But let's move on. This story comes from Tim A. Judge, like Tim May Judge. He says, I used to mock people that said sleep paralysis is demonic until God opened up my eyes one night. The only way to describe the demon was that it looked like a gargoyle. I've been able to see them all my life. I've seen ghosts, demons, gargoyles, or whatever entities that cause sleep paralysis. Shadow people or djinn on a nightly basis, incubus and succubi. The craziest part is the deja vu I've been experiencing since 2016. I've seen malevolent entities throughout my life, but I used to see both good and bad. It picked up when I moved, or when we moved, in middle school. But in high school, that's where I first saw the incubus and the succubus. I'm pretty sure it had to do with something with the fact that I was on Adderall. When I saw the gargoyle, though, was when I was experiencing sleep paralysis. Just know that entities can attach themselves to people, places, things, and to you, and wherever else you go. For example, gas stations, nail salons, barber shops, restaurants, pubs, all of these places, or wherever alcohol is at, they'll be there waiting for you, or will find you when you're drunk. Now, why do the Native Americans call alcohol spirits? Why is he saying he's seeing an incubus and a succubus in high school where there's all kinds of sexual energy around? Why is he talking about this gargoyle entity that's responsible for his sleep paralysis? Other people call them demons. Other people call them the sleeping hat. The point is that there is something, a multitude of demonic or spiritual entities that are able to interact with us because of the energy that we exude. That's what I want to try to illustrate. Incubus and succubus in high school. For people that don't know, whenever people say they have, and this might sound strange, sexual relations with spirits, or, you know, they say they have a ghost friend, or, you know, they have a ghost at home waiting for them that they make love to. These are these types of entities. We have to understand that they can masquerade as other people. They can masquerade as what you want to see. These entities show you what you want to see. That's why they're called familiar spirits. The devil can't come to you showing you a gargoyle. They have to show you something pleasurable. For people that do experience this kind of sleep paralysis, how are they supposed to know? How are they supposed to really understand what it means to decipher this type of stuff, to discern these types of things, to combat these types of entities? So I should have done this at the start of the show while we were here. The quick call-in number, if you guys want to call in and share your own paranormal experience, instead of hearing me go on and on about everybody else's, that number is 678-603-4393. That number, again, is 678-603-4393. If you want to call in and you have your own experience that you want to share. Let's get back into this. Why are there so many different things that we have to look at in just this paranormal spectrum, this supernatural spectrum? Let's move on. This comes from So New York Chris. He says, I remember when I was young, I played the Ouija board one night with my friend, and simultaneously we felt this very strong evil presence in my house. I got up out of that house and slept over at his. And what's even stranger, a week later, I had sleep paralysis. I saw what I could only describe as a Baphomet-like entity. It was the scariest thing that ever happened to me. So the Ouija board, Baphomet, feeling the presence of evil. As the story before said, we don't really know whether or not, you know, where these things are attached. They could be attached to the land. They could be attached to the Ouija board. They could be attached to the person. When playing with the Ouija board, people don't properly close them, which also leaves them open for other spirits to come through. What we really have to get from this particular story is the sleep paralysis and these types of, I don't want to say hauntings, I don't want to say oppression, but these types of encounters can happen simply due to the curious factor. As I said before with the story earlier, with the lady who has the family history of the active third eye, attracting dark spirits. Because you are a beacon, because you have opened up this window of light, whatever is going to come through is going to come through. And if you don't have the tools to properly fight it, you're going to be a victim to it, or you're going to run from it, and it's going to go off and go hurt somebody else. Now, this next story that comes up, this is a story, and I included the skeptic's response. You know, this is a story because, you know, we really have to look at whether or not this is something that could be explainable, or again, if this is something that's attached to the house. But continue on. And this is from DZ Jimmers. It says that the scariest thing I have ever experienced was my first sleep paralysis. A hand came out from the wall, grabbed my shoulder, and started trying to pull me into the wall. The other one was while I was working with my computer at midnight. I didn't play any songs from it because, you know, it was really quiet. But suddenly, I heard the sound of nails scratching a wall, slowly trying to climb up from a wall behind me. I could hear the sound getting closer and closer. I stopped typing, listening for a moment, and then without turning around, I ran straight out of the room. I had never been so scared in my life. I don't blame you. And so the response that was, you know, included in this is, you know, this is from somebody named H. Turnbull. He says that it's called having mice in the walls and hallucinations brought on during the temporary psychosis brought on by sleep deprivation. Now, it sounds like a tightwad of a thing to say, but, you know, that could be explainable. These types of things can be explainable. I think it's good to have healthy skepticism when looking at these types of things. But I'm pretty sure he would be able to tell the difference between a mice and whatever is actually trying to mess with sounds around him. The next story comes from Dina Ishan. Says, yes, I saw someone temporarily possessed by an entity who pretended to be my brother who had recently passed away. It was horrible and took me a while to realize it wasn't my deceased brother. This stuff is real and it's horrible. Let that sink in for a second. Temporarily possessed by an entity who pretended to be her brother. Wow. So you're talking about possession. You're talking about something showing you that you want to see. You're talking about a lot in a very, very powerful sentence. And that's why I put this in here. We're talking about how people can be possessed by these entities, by whatever is on the spiritual spectrum that we don't know. Whether they be lower vibrational entities, whether they be demons, whether or not they be ghosts, whether they be parasitic entities, interdimensional entities, however you want to look at it, people can be affected by these types of things. And what's even worse, like some kind of demonic mime or some kind of, you know, a spiritual mirror, it shows you what you want to see. This next story comes from Susie Nan. She says, so glad you're covering this. My husband and I have seen two UFOs. We felt like we called the second one to us. It met us on a desolate highway and hovered across the road from us until we freaked out and sped off. We also heard footsteps crossing the floor of our guest room while we were sleeping in it one night. Both of us yanked up the covers over our heads like little scaredy cats. Also, all family members have heard people running up the back stairs while alone in the house. Nothing nefarious, thankfully. Talking about UFOs, something following you home. Yeah. One of our first stories of the paranormal perspective, we had somebody who basically said that they felt like they were able to vibrate with a UFO. And I actually have that right here. It's from Igloo Jitsu. I'll read this here in a second. People say this a lot, that they feel like they can communicate with UFOs. Now, when you're talking about UFOs, this is something that's controversial, super controversial. I'm highly aware of the military-industrial complex, the millions, the trillions that have been taken from people's taxpaying dollars to create this breakaway civilization, to do all this. Like, it's crazy. I have and gone off on a whole separate tangent called Terraforming Earth, where we've looked at that, what the breakaway civilization is, what the military-industrial complex is, what the UFOs are, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this is the nuts and bolts UFOs. Now, we also have spiritual UFOs, orbs and entities that people can come into contact with. But before I continue on, I'm actually being told I have a question from the internet. It said, how would someone know it wasn't their sibling? That's a good question. And this is referring back to the story from Dina Hishan, where they're saying that somebody was temporarily possessed by an entity that pretended to be their brother. The best way I can tell you to look at these types of things is have discernment. Have spiritual discernment. There's no real one way to understand whether or not you're seeing an entity or if your brother actually stayed around. Personally, and this is just my opinion on the matter, I'm going to have to, again, go back to discernment. You're going to know certain things about your brother's characteristics, your personality, their personality, et cetera, et cetera. And even ask yourself this. Why would your family member stick around? Would they not want to go explore the rest of their existence? These things that come around and show you what they want to see, or show you what you want to see, they act in a state of... They act like predators. How many times have we heard stories of, you know, oh, you know, I remember seeing somebody that was familiar to me, I tried to walk out with them, and then something crazy happened to me. It's because at a deeper level, we're not able to guard our thoughts, and these things are somehow able to project them onto us. It's crazy. It's crazy. But let me read this quick story to you guys where we're talking about vibrating with UFOs. Like I said before, for some strange reason, people feel as if they're able to contact these entities, whether or not they are entities or if they're nuts and bolts. But this story right here comes from Igloo Jitsu. It's one of the first ones we have from Paranormal Perspective. And it goes like this. It says, I think that there is a star brighter than others in the sky near my home. A couple of months ago, I had convinced myself that it was a UFO. I remember entering into a lucid state while sleeping. And while in the state, I remember that I've experienced the ability to teleport to different places using my mind while in this lucid dreaming state. So I thought, I want to teleport into that UFO near my home. Immediately after the thought, I began hearing frequencies that which began to get faster and faster. I left the thought and started to dream about something else before waking up, but I swear it felt like I needed to concentrate on the frequencies to gain access to the UFO that I visited with my mind. After that experience, I try not to pay attention to the sky sometimes. Definitely not as confident with my abilities in the lucid dreaming state, but yeah, trippy stuff. I thought frequencies were important because I know it was written about before the breakthrough on DMT, the spiritual molecule, but I thought that was important. So I wanted to I wanted to bridge those types of stories to where we literally have somebody saying that they felt like they could commune with this UFO, and then somebody else who put themselves in that state to try to communicate with it. Why are they trying to focus the frequencies to vibrate with it? I don't know, but there are responses. And as the first story from Susan Ann said, she was able to meet this UFO. Like they said, they felt like they called it down, but they got scared the same way this person was unable to communicate with it. This is where you'll have people who will say, you know, are we dealing with higher dimensional entities? Are we dealing with spirits? Are we dealing with gods? Are we dealing with angels? The spiritual spectrum is very vast. The hierarchy, the paranormal hierarchy, I don't understand it myself entirely, but as you can see, we're trying to break it down. What are these things? It's not just nuts and bolts, TR-3Bs, that are patented UFOs that you can go look at. We have a story about that as well later on. But there are also spiritual things. You can look at some of the alien abduction encounters, this opens up so much, this alien agenda. Yes, you know, we're aware of Project Bluebeam, how they can shoot things into the sky. They can put holograms in there, the voice of God technology, psychotronic warfare, and things of this nature. I'm not trying to talk about how they're biohacking people. What I'm talking about how there's a natural spiritual phenomenon that is being hijacked by this entity or this organization or someone or something that is aware that people can communicate on this level. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but we got to move on. You look at these types of things, you break them down, and then you start to get a sense of one thing, but then it opens up so many more questions. I have way too many stories that really do illustrate this. Like that's why I have you guys on. That's why I talk about these types of things, to really illustrate, to get a good picture of what's going on. You know, why is, like the story before this, you know, why is a hand appearing over somebody's bed and trying to pull them into the wall? What is that? Why can somebody be temporarily possessed by a false spirit pretending to be somebody else? What is that? How are people able to communicate with what is considered to be stars, what is considered to be nuts and bolts UFOs? You can look at things like C-SETI Ranch and all kinds of other places like that, but it's crazy. It's not just a singular UFO. It's not just something like that. They're trying to mimic it. Yes, this alien agenda is important. Yes, there are things that are happening on. But we have to understand the depths at which we're being affected by these types of things. You see, and we can play a part in it as well. the same way before this, the same way before, I talked about how we have to know the spiritual tools that we have at our disposal before we can actually, you know, give ourselves over to this, before it starts affecting us. You see? So I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about more of this UFO activity, some of the other strange, clearly other stranger things that are going on, and I'm going to have a lot more story for you guys. I'm going to try to shut up, stick to the script, get these stories out, and get this paranormal baby cooking. But like I said, this is Freedom Faction over here on Fellowship and Freedom with On the Wake Up Radio. Stay tuned. I'll talk to you real soon. Right on. Thank you guys for tuning back in and joining us over here on Fellowship and Freedom with On the Wake Up Radio. If you guys want to call in, you have your story, you want to contribute to it, that number is 678-603-4393. That number again is 678-603-4393. And while we're here introducing this next segment, I definitely want to tell you guys, go to the website, factionsoffreedom.gemdo.com, click on the podcast tab, go down to the vault, which is right underneath the Fellowship and Freedom tab, and then you can go download 18 solid pages of paranormal goodness. Whew. Submitted from you guys, your stories over here. I wanted to plug that real quick so you guys can call in, you can have your stories, and you can also go back and read other people's stories. But in the meantime, in between all these breaks, we actually got a quick Instagram comment and question. And it goes like this. They said, so I experienced sleep paralysis after my roommate and I talked about an entity she and her boyfriend saw in the house, and in his house too. He was a dark figure with a cowboy hat, as described before. Later that night, as I drifted off to sleep, my eyes flew open and I couldn't move. I was panicked, and the only thing I could think to say was the blood of Jesus, and I was let go. I couldn't actually speak. I thought this and was released. I was so scared, I slept with my roommate that night and couldn't really feel peace in my room after that. Now the question is, if Jesus isn't real, then how is there so much power in the name? Why do we feel so full of God's spirit when we don't know what to call him? Is our mind making it real? Is it a collective consciousness thing when we attend church? That is a great question. That is a great question. Ah, okay. All right. Fantastic question. And I'm scary experience. Fantastic question. The best way for me to explain that, or from my perspective, firstly, I want to say thank you for sending in your question, your comment, and your experience, because these types of things are not easy to talk about. But my response to your question, would be, think about it this way. When the radio is playing nothing but the same kind of music, everybody gets the same kind of mindset, the same kind of vibe. This is why MTV, the radio, hip-hop, and all the things that we listen to right now are very dangerous. Now, before MTV, hip-hop, and all this other technology that we had that propagated this, there was the church. There was religion. There were people who were speaking these things into existence and giving this kind of power, giving their essence over to this energy and creating these types of things. Believing, that's the power of faith, that's the power of belief. Because we are tapping into what sounds like ancient power, ancient gods, or a previous entity, or God, really, we're basically tuning in to that kind of frequency and then commanding that power, I hope that makes sense. We're basically aligning ourselves with that residual energy that is there and then calling forth that power to expel the demon. This is why, as controversial as the Catholic Church is, they know what they're doing with exorcising demons. But then on the contrast, you also have people say, well, where are those spirits going? If they're casting them out, they have to go somewhere else. You see? So when we're looking at this, we have to understand, again, the multidimensional nature of our existence and everything else that's around us. Now, the fact that you're seeing an entity in your apartment and in your house and in your boyfriend's house as well, again, we're talking about how these things are attached to people and not necessarily objects and locations. So what does that mean? You see, it's a fantastic question. That was awesome. And I'm going to jump into this next story from It's Me, Be Dawn, Brandon. And the story goes like this. My girlfriend and I were hanging out on top of a neighborhood mountain where we like to watch weird stuff in the sky. One night, we happened to see a ton of UFO activity. After watching for about 20 minutes, we noticed these two lights raise up above the neighborhood houses down below. One light was red, and one was green. It flew probably 30 feet up from where we saw it take off, which made it around 10 to 15 feet above my car, you know, since I'm on a mountain. After it reached its max height, we saw it moving towards us. I was ready to take off and leave, but my girlfriend told me to stay. So we did. We noticed the lights started coming towards the car. That's when I was getting really weirded out. It finally reached my car, and when it flew above my car, we saw what looked like two lights, the red and the green light, and a line that connected those two lights, but nothing else. I freaked out. We ended up going home, but got a little lost along the way. Eventually, we made it home. When I said I wanted to check on top of one more spot by my house to skywatch, we went up to this small hill, turned, and we drove down the road. My girlfriend told me, Brandon, look, I thought it was just going to be more lights in the sky. Turns out, it was an actual spacecraft. It was a big, grayish, silver, and in the shape of a floating triangle, floating 15 feet away from my car in the air, going the exact same speed I was going. That's when I called it and turned around ASAP. I went home and did research and found the patent on the exact craft that I had never seen before. TR-3B is real. And I haven't seen it personally. Let me know what you guys think of this. We believe whatever it is was following us and was trying to reveal itself to us. Now, they mentioned briefly that they eventually made it home. If this is a spot that you guys go to frequently, why did it take some time going home? What time was it whenever you got home? Did you check? Did they experience missing time? The TR-3B, for people that don't know, is basically, and you can look this up, it's basically a military aircraft. It's patent on Google. We've actually had some scientists on that not have worked on the project but are aware of it in its entirety. The manufacturer is the Northrop Corporation, and it's actually called the TR-3 Black Manta. It's an aircraft model. And let's see if we can get this patent up. Because, yeah, I'm literally looking this up as we're going on about it. This is put up July 6, 2016, the patent. The filing date was December 20, 2004. The priority date, same date. The publication date was June 6, 2006. And the application number is US 11017093. So, yeah, it's filed. You guys can go look this up. All the information is there. And that's kind of what I was alluding to before. We are aware that there are nuts and bolts aircrafts going on all around us, but there are also spiritual UFOs, things that people can't really understand. This is where we also get tales of the fallen angels, shape-shifting, where they appear as weird, kind of not gelatinous orbs, but just like something that's always changing, constantly moving. There's a lot of strange things happening up in the sky, but we can't pay attention because we're trying to figure out if we got lights on our last post. You see, there's a lot of strange stuff going on out there in the sky. And I think that, you know, when we really start trying to break down what that means, why that's happening to us, and, you know, if we can affect it, I think a lot of people kind of get scared. You see, this next story comes from Beth H. Heyman. She says that, I've had many things happen to me, but I'll share one of our major ones with you. I'd like to start off by saying I used to love watching Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. Once I stopped watching these shows altogether, these incidents stopped. the first major experience, I was woken up around 5 a.m. by my foot being gently rubbed. I thought it fits, as you know, my boyfriend saying goodbye for the day. I remember him telling me he had to leave early for school, but when I opened my eyes, there was a black, smoky figure standing at the side of my bed. I could see the silhouette of her head and shoulders, but then it was just like a black cloud for the rest of the body. And as soon as I looked at it, I froze. But I didn't show any fear. It immediately stopped touching my foot, and after a few seconds, it began to slowly, very slowly, start walking away into my closet with its smoky arm extended at me the whole way. I was not having a dream. I woke my boyfriend up, who, ironically enough, was still sleeping next to me and couldn't believe what just happened. I feel like it left because I showed no fear and it had to leave. So think about that. What could be, again, what is right there that we can't see? What is beyond the veil that's waiting for dark to come? I think for me, the interesting thing is you never see really any ghosts in the daytime. Why do you only see them at nighttime? Is there a certain energy that comes out of the nighttime that allows these people or these entities to come through? We commonly hear how, you know, oh, it's Halloween, it's October, the veil has thinned, ha 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 ha, time to go get some candy. It's like, whoa, 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 hold on. Put a pause in that. Are we joking about how there is something that is right there and it cyclically comes every single year? Why, like Black History Month, why are we only giving this attention only once a month? Why are we not really looking at this? What the hell is that about? I'm supposed to sit up over here and say, ha, 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 time to go to McDonald's. Don't worry about these spirits, my ancestors. You know, they could be trying to speak to me. I you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of different things that come with this, but in this Western mindset to where, you know, oh, it's just hunky-dory spirituality. Don't pay attention to it. It's demons. We're not really understanding things. One of the things that you guys have heard me talk about on the main ship, the main show, the flagship show, Factions of Freedom, is we've seen how Christianity has dominated the spiritual spectrum to where anything that is outside of the Holy Trinity is considered demonic. You study in chakras, it's demonic. You meditate, it's demonic. Anything that's not prayer, or you have an active third eye, it's demonic. You know, you see spirits, you're possessed. it's this reaction rather than an understanding. And what is that about? Why is it that we have lived in a society to where it's like okay to just like shut yourself off to whatever this is? And throughout the entirety of the show, you know, we've been talking about what it means to be in this spiritual warfare, to be involved in this type of stuff. But they're over here saying that none of this is important, you know, and if you look at it, you're kind of crazy. Don't do that. And it's silly. It really is silly. Another thing that I wanted to point you guys in the direction of, we kind of touched on this briefly, of things like Project Real Flame, Project Sailing, Project Sunstreak. Now, I was talking to our engineer, Ra, about this on, you know, how there are basically government-sponsored, or how there was, from basically the 1940s up until the 1990s, there was basically government-sponsored experiments where they were testing, like I said, that psychical research, psychokinesis. Can you induce a out-of-body experience? Can they basically weaponize remote viewing? What happens whenever you have these people trying to have government-sponsored psychics? This kind of study went on from like the 40s until the 90s, and you know they just discontinued it because it started getting traction and they started to get more funding. What we're seeing now is the casual rollout of these. I don't want to say they're rolling them out because they've been there, but we're seeing them basically deploy I guess, their own versions of their soldiers, their own versions of people who are engaging these types of things. As I said before, with the Vatican having ordained exorcists, sanctioned exorcisms, things like this. Just the other day, you know, the one of the Irish Catholic priests over there was saying that we need more exorcists. We need more exorcists. They've been going on about how they need exorcists for as long as I've been doing this. That's kind of why I'm doing it, because they're saying, hey, look, there's people that are being possessed. There's people who are regularly practicing witchcraft. There are people who are communing with these spirits. They're letting loose all this chaos. We need help. But because you got pedo-gate going on, you got all this spirit cooking stuff happening, people are really, really cautious of the church. Now, let's look at this real quick. The very same church that is saying everything else is demonic is now corrupt. So we have been spiritually misled. You see what I'm saying? At a certain level, we have been spiritually, purposely misled. And as I said before at the start of the show, this removes us from having the ability to have the tools to effectively counter these things. And the only way that we can effectively counter these things is if we go to the Catholic Church and get ordained, get sanctioned by them to where they say, it's okay, you can do this exorcism. But do you know how long everybody thinks, you know, you look at the movies, demonic possession, it happens because they ate some bad chow or whatever. No, demonic possession is a gradual phenomenon. I don't have the charts here in front of me, but there's things like demonic possession, oppression, affliction, and there's another category as well. And all of these have different categories. Demonic possession is basically the last rung, to where they can't, there is nothing else for them to do besides just be consumed by the spirit. When you open up yourself to these things and you have no idea on how you're going to defend yourself, they're going to keep coming back. They're going to afflict you. They're going to separate you from your friends, from your family, from your daily activities, from anything that is empowering, because it wants to systematically break you down like any kind of predator, so that it can consume you. And once it has you sectioned off from the world, that's whenever it starts to whisper to you. That's whenever it slowly starts to weave its way into your world, into your actions, to where it becomes your only friend. And you guys think I'm playing. But there's a few people out there who are afflicted by this type of stuff, who are going through this. This is the darker part of this paranormal activity, of these supernatural experiences, the people who don't find ways to stand up against this. Like I said, we only pay attention when it's October and you can dress up. What happens every other day when these entities are roaming around? Real quick, I'll jump back into this. Steph Freeman, whenever we had him on the Spiritual Sensitivity episode, he talked about how, we have a caller. Okay, we have a caller. Put them on. I'll come back to
that. Hi.
Caller, can you hear me?
Hello?
Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you? And what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm fine. I'm Samar. I'm calling from the Bronx.
How's it going, Samar? Thank you for calling. And what are you calling in to tell us? Oh, are you still there? Oh, man. It's okay. We'll get it figured out. We'll get it figured out. Hopefully they call back in. You guys can call in yourself for listening. That number is 678-603-4393. That number again is 678-603-4393. So while they get that situated, you know, let me jump back into here with Steph's story. He was talking about how, you know, where he lives, he's out there basically with Amish people, to give you guys a kind of location of how far removed he is from society. But he's talking about how they're, okay, how there's entities attached to the land. The caller is back. Caller, Samar, are you there?
Yes, this is me. My phone got cut off. I don't know what frequency that was, but hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. It happens all the time over here. What are you calling in to tell us?
So, I was told that you guys are speaking about, like, entities in terms of spiritual interactions, correct?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so, I have a story where as I was a young teen, I was sleeping in my room. I was sharing a room with my sister, and I can remember I was sleeping on the head of the foot of the bed, and from what I can recall, in my sleep, I heard a noise, like a, you know how a plane lands, and it's like, yeah, you know how a plane lands, and that yeah. noise in itself, it had that squeaky, that sound, like it was so powerful, so it just, it made me wake up, but to this day, I don't know if it was my physical realm that had woken up, or it was me in that dream, and like it felt like a dream. So anyway, moving on, as I woke up, my room was so pitch black, but this human figure dressed in all white with short locks in his head, on his head, like chin length, brown skin, was just standing there, and the light behind him and going directly towards my vision where I can see him was so bright. It was the most brightest light. It was like a light in heaven. Like, you know how they say before you pass away, don't go into the light, or if you know, you see a light. So
yeah,
I seen that, and he was just standing there. But from the peripheral of my eyes, I noticed my sister, like wherever her bed was, it was so pitch black, but I know she was there, but still it was like, what the hell? And for some reason, I don't know what happened, like as I'm looking at him, so I like got up a little bit. I don't know if this was a spiritual realm that I was in of a dream, or if this was physically me, but I got up a little bit and I looked, and then for some reason I literally got up out my sleep or whatsoever, and the room was back to black. So he was like basically standing there.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. So he was basically like just standing there, like he was like a messenger or something. And I was about 15, 16 years old. And then I had different type of encounterments in my apartment here as an adult. I'm in my room with my daughter, and I normally around, like, you know, they say like 3 o'clock is like the spiritual world.
That's when
the spirit. Yeah. So I listening to my music because I got up, because I normally always get up around that time. That's the time I'm always, the majority of the time I'm getting up, especially when I just had my baby. So especially when I was pregnant. But this time, this is what, like a few years ago, a couple of years ago, and I'm listening to my music in the dark, and I know that my daughter's father, he used to always sneak up on me because I always had stories, but this time it wasn't him. It was like the man in black. He had like a black hat. Like, I don't know what kind of, it wasn't a witch hat, but like a Papa Legba hat, but it wasn't like high as Papa Legba. But this wasn't Papa Legba. He was trying to sneak upon me, I had to look, like, and then I just told him, like, get the fuck out of here. Because, like, that energy wasn't energy compared to what I seen when the guy that I, in the white, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what do you mean by you were able to see him sneak up on you?
Like, I see the way how he was, like, walking towards the end of my bed. Because I won't call him a he or she. But the figment of this description of this entity or whatsoever, way how it was coming towards me, walking towards me from the end of the bed, like he would do, like he was mimicking what my daughter's father would do to me, like tease me. So I don't know what that was. And then that was just bugged out. And I was like, what? Get the hell out. Get the fuck out of here.
Do you think it was attached to maybe like the place, or if this is like just something in this entity, was it trying to come to you or was it trying to get to your baby, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, no, the baby wasn't here. The baby's here now. It was 2 years ago. I just had my baby.
Okay.
So my oldest daughter, it was coming to me. It wasn't going to her. It was like playing tricks with me. I don't know if it was playing tricks with me but the way how it was approaching me, I just told her, get the fuck out of here.
Well, that's sketchy. Now that is sketchy. One quick question and then I'll let you be up on your way. This possible angel sighting, you said your sister was there. Did she experience it as well?
No, because she was asleep. Everyone is asleep. I have more stuff to say, if you don't mind me telling you stuff. But she was asleep. But she has her own experience too, but it was more of her own interpersonal experience. But I always say, because as I'm practicing getting more deep into spirituality and the next realm or the next plane of life, and as I'm growing and learning more, I'm learning to not fear it. You can't be scared of it, because that's just what it is, because we're not the only ones here on earth. But I feel it's like more of a calling, or more say follow my path into whatever it is, and just, you know, just not fear it, and learn to just, you know, go head on.
Understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just understand it and know that you're not here by yourself, you know?
No, I definitely agree. I think there's a few things I want to tackle with that, but we're coming up against a break. Samar, I want to say thank you for calling in with that story. That's something else. Thank you. I'll definitely tackle that on the other side. So thank you for calling in. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'll be going over those stories and more. So you guys stay tuned. I'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Definitely. Take care.
And we are back. You know, I really do appreciate it, like talking to you guys. I know we're still trying to get everything worked out and figured out. But please, you know, call in. Tell us your stories. That was crazy. I have so, in that little time frame, I've written down so much here. And we'll get to that real quick. So that number, if you guys want to call in with your own experiences, 678-603-4393. That number, again, is 678-603-4393. You can also ask us questions with On The Wake Up Radio or via on Instagram, as well as on Facebook. All kinds of different ways, because your guys' questions, your guys' experience drive this whole series that we do here. So Samara called in and she talked about basically, you know, how she had, and I feel like this is a beautiful duality, what seems to be like an angel experience, and on the flip side, experiencing some kind of man in black phenomena. That's crazy. Now, in the Bible, it talks about this, and I was talking to our engineer in between the breaks about this, about how in the Bible it talks about, because these angels are so righteous, filled with glory and love, that the spiritual pressure, when they come down here and manifest, it puts us on our knees. We bow immediately. We can't rise because it's so righteous. It's so glory. And this is how you test the spirits. But what happens is they bow down and they reach and pull you up. They say, it is okay to look upon me. It is okay for you to be in our presence. It is okay for us to have fellowship and commune on these types of things. Now, the demons and the fallen angels and these entities that are in the Bible still, it says this even, you know, in the days of Noah, you know, there will be giants before and after the flood. These entities and these, they're still here. These beings are still here. They approach you in a more malevolent, sketchy, mischievous way. Like Samar called in to say, sneaking up on her, trying to mimic her boyfriend. What is that about? the same Man in Black. It sounded like she was describing the fedora, the hat man, creeping up on her. And if you're listening right now, Samar, congratulations on the baby. I meant to tell you that whenever you're on the phone. congratulations. But these types of things are important. And if you think about it as well, I've also read stories on the previous episodes of The Paranormal Perspective where we've talked about how one lady felt as if orbs were being attracted to her pregnancy. It was like once she started having her baby, the orbs, they came in the house as she could see them outside, and they would interact with her and her baby. And these types of things are very, very real, very, very deep to understand. And that's why I'm trying to understand it. Now, this angel encounter, like she said before, she saw him glowing. She could describe his features. She didn't feel fear. She said, you know, I actually want to go up and go talk to this person. You're not going to want to go up and go talk to some shadow man or some hat man. No, you're not. You're going to try to get away from that thing. And these are the different types of things in this spiritual hierarchy, in the spiritual sense. Now, as she said before, we're trying to develop more of these spiritual senses because they've been taken away from us and we're told not to look at them. You see. So I want to say thank you, Samar, for calling in. I have another quick story for you guys with the time that we have. This is from Dwayne Johnson's wife, Jean for Life 2. And strap yourselves in, because this is not an easy story. Starts like this. I was 9 when I think I saw something strange. My mom was driving home from Louisiana. I was in the back. I was somehow awakened. My first instinct was to look up. It was nighttime. And I've always loved the stars at night, but something wasn't right, though. It was a beam of light that came from the sky without an apparent object for it to be coming from. It didn't move. There was silence all around. It just stayed in one area in the fields near a farm. I was abducted when I was 10, but another, air quotes, alien saved me before I was experimented on. I remember being on a table, and a liquid that tasted like sweet syrup was getting on my face, getting in my eyes. Lots of fluid stuff was involved in these experimentations. It hurt when he dropped me on my bed through the roof of our house. I literally bounced off the bed, and since then I've had extreme pain and joint cramping, as well as another condition. At 11, I always saw a tall, dark figure watching me while I slept. At times, I couldn't move anything but my eyes. It would feel like a huge snake moving inside of my mattress, and sometimes I could even feel the hand touching me all over. An unknown force would lift me up and slam me onto my bed, and then the bed would go crazy. I was literally being thrown into the air over and over. It scared the hell out of me. I finally heard voices to say the Lord's Prayer. I felt something let me go. I jumped off my bed and sprinted to the couch. I slowly went back, turned my light on, and investigated. I rubbed my hands all over the bed, felt nothing there, so things felt like it was safe for me to go back to sleep. And when I did, I had a dream of my grandma. She was walking towards me. Her head grew and grew until it was large enough to consume my entire body, which she then ate. That Sunday morning, my mom asked me if I wanted to go to church with her. It was communion. This time I said, okay. I joined the church that Sunday and never doubted since. From then on, people started acting viciously towards me as if I had done something horrible, but never met them before. I had strange dreams of fighting and killing the devil while also developing the ability to see or feel evil. I even have psychic visions or can make things happen with my mind. I try to be careful of what and how I think. It's like I've been mentally enhanced, both physically and mentally. I remember how lightning fast the alien was. This one didn't look like the others. He told me I'd be all right, and he was taking me back home without moving his lips. He looked down at me and smiled. I think he followed me there and snuck on the UFOs to save a lot of people, not just me. Maybe. I've always been grateful and think about him and thank him. I wonder if he can still hear me. And like I said, that was from Dwayne Johnson's wife, Jean for Life, too. Very, very powerful. We're literally hearing how at different stages of her life, she has been in contact with these entities, or something has been in contact with her, you know, at night, at 9 years old, you know, seeing or basically describing what could be like an experience, an abduction experience. And what's even crazier is that this abduction experience led her to church and developing more spiritual qualities of herself. At 9 years old, seeing what looks like a UFO or an abduction take place. At 10 years old, confirming that they were indeed abducted and experimented on. That's kind of wild. And then at 11, that's whenever it becomes even more crazy. Maybe because they are being experimented on, like they said in this story, they have been enhanced. Maybe they're hijacking these natural human abilities, these things that we have innately, that they're trying to redirect. Throughout the entirety of this broadcast, we've been trying to really pin down what it is. And this story right here lays it all out on the table at different stages, from seeing a UFO to being inside of what would be considered a UFO to the after effects of being in a UFO and what that means for the person experiencing all these types of things. There are people that have gone through this their entire lives who are still going through it, who don't know about this at all. You see, it's like you really start trying to ask yourself what it could mean if you are being touched and if they are hacking your natural biological rhythm or your natural biological abilities. It's like, right, I'll put it to you this way. You know, we're talking about different entities. We're talking about different spectrums of the spiritual power and how we're affected by it. If we really look at it, that's what I'm saying. You look at the alien agenda, you look at this alien abduction phenomena, you see how these people are trying to basically hijack a already existing natural phenomena for their own purposes. There is something to win, and the shamans talk about this, medicine men talk about this, people in the Amazon talk about this. It's in history, it's in folklore, it's in verbal tales that have been passed down to people. There is something right there. I've talked about it on this show as well as on the Wake Up Radio with Kazka and the Masonic Marine about just that, about how the researcher that goes by the name of Graham Hancock, he's talked about how plants can be technology and how ayahuasca to some degree has allowed him to see different spectrums or different, not necessarily different spectrums of life, but Mother Ayahuasca, what some people consider Mother Earth. You're tapping into a deeper spiritual realm, and all of us have these types of things, but when we don't really look at what it means for us, we really lose out on all that experience. We can't have somebody else tell us these types of things. We have to experience them ourselves. You see, if you can believe it or not, that was the majority of the show. I have a few more stories, but if anything, that'll give you guys something to go look at. Like I said, you can go to the website, factionsoffreedom.gemda.com, and you can go to the vault, and you can go download Paranormal Perspective Volumes 1 through 5 for free, and go read some of these things for yourself to really experience these things, to know you're not alone. That's why we're doing this. You're not alone experiencing these things. That's why we have to have more episodes like this where you guys do call in, where you tell us what happened. Everybody needs to know that they're not alone in experiencing these things, and that's why we do that. That's why we're here. But that's what I want to say. Make sure you're checking out some of the other episodes, some of the previous Paranormal Perspectives, and even go listen to some of the other episodes we just had, the recent episodes with Zach and his cousin, where we talk about this and more. You can hear their experiences. That's the point. People have to know that these things are going on, and we have to combat them as well. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. That's why I want you guys to do that. Like I said, I'll put the information in the description bar below so you guys can listen to, or so you can listen to some of the previous episodes, send us an email, contact us on the website if you yourself have had your own experience, or even leave us a voicemail. You know, you might not even want to hear me talk about your experience. It's sometimes more powerful for people to hear it directly from you. I'm merely here to be the platform to get this kind of information out. But that's what I wanted to do. It's Super Bowl Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday right now, and I'm over here talking to you guys about all kinds of things strange, awesome, cool, and paranormal. Over here on Fellowship of Freedom with On the Wake Up Radio. You guys can catch us here, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after next. I think that's February 18th. Yeah, on the 18th is whenever we'll be right back here again with you guys doing this and more. I want to say thank you guys for tuning into this, because it is always an honor and it is huge pleasure to be able to share these types of experience, to go into this kind of depth and really break these types of things down. You're really dealing with monumental experiences that have changed people and woken them up. And it's my honor to be able to share these types of things with you guys, the audience. Everything else that's going on in the world, we have to know what we can do and what we can affect. And I feel like looking at these things, this is a battle that we can win. It's something that's gone on since time immemorial. But that's why we have to really understand the different dimensions, the depth of it all, and what we can do to combat it. So like I said, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Real quick shout out. Thank you to Ra on the boards and our producer, Cindy Ashby, and as well as Samar for calling in, and everybody else that's going to call in the future, and all the people that submitted their fantastic stories to this. Make sure you're going to their new website, onthewakeupradio.com. Get lost in the content. I'll put the description bar, or put that information in the description bar below. Make sure you're also going to go give us a follow on SoundCloud, on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. If you guys have any questions, feel free to send us an email at onthewakeupradio@gmail.com. And that's what I got. I want to say thank you guys for tuning in. And remember, guys, stay vigilant. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.